an open to the public resolution, see if we can meet that ordinance.
Be resolved by the Township Council of Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled calendar year 2019 ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriation limits and to establish a cap bank, NJSA 40A:4-45.14, was introduced on the 5th day of March 2019 and passed the first reading and was published on the 14th day of March 2019. Now therefore be resolved that the aforementioned ordinance, having had a second reading on April 9th, 2019, be adopted, passed, and after passage be published together with the notice of the date of passage or approval in the official newspaper. Be it further resolved that this ordinance shall be assigned number 19-09.
And this is open to the public, any comments? Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Is there a second?
A second.
See if we can take a roll.
Councilman Bowler?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Councilman Mahon?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilwoman McCollum?
Yes.
Councilman Shaw?
Yes.
Council President Arnold?
Yes, item passes. Item number eight on the first reading, acquisition of easement and land in Free Simple for improvement of Hayward Avenue and Windward Avenue. This is a resolution adopting ordinance, see if please read the ordinance.
Be resolved by the Township Council of Piscataway Township, New Jersey, that an ordinance entitled ordinance for the acquisition of easement and land in Free Simple for the improvement of Hayward Avenue and Windward Avenue in Piscataway Township, County of Middlesex, State of New Jersey, being is hereby adopted on the first reading, that it be published in the official newspaper and that a second reading and public hearing be held at 7:30 PM prevailing time at the Piscataway Municipal Building, 455 Rose Lane, Piscataway, New Jersey, on the 7th day of May 2019. Be it further resolved that a copy of this ordinance shall be posted in at least two public places within the township prior to the day of the second reading and final passage, and a copy of this ordinance shall be made available at the office of the township clerk for any interested member of the public.
Do I have a motion? Second?
Second.
Councilman Bowler?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Councilman Mahon?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilwoman McCollum?
Yes.
Councilman Shaw?
Yes.
Council President Arnold?
Yes, item passes. Item number nine, agenda, for efficiency, items have been consolidated to consent agenda, be voted on together. Materials of these items have been distributed to the council in advance of this meeting. At this time, are there any items that the council would like to move from the consent agenda to discuss or vote on separately? Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Councilman Bowler?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Councilman Mahon?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Yes.
Councilwoman McCollum?
Yes.
Councilman Shaw?
Yes.
Council President Arnold?
Yes, item passes. Item number 10, we have a proclamation, 2019, new driving tax today, distracted driving, crackdown, April 1st, 2019.
Proclamation, 2019, new driving tax today, distracted driving, crackdown, this is from April 1st to April 21st, 2019. Whereas distracted driving is a serious, life-threatening practice that's preventable, and whereas distracted driving can result in injuries and death to all road users, parentheses, motorists, pedestrians, and bicyclists, and whereas distracted driving occurs when drivers divert their attention away from the task of driving to focus on another activity instead, and whereas in 2015 alone, distracted driving-related crashes results in 3,477 deaths and 391,000 injuries on our nation's roads, and whereas in New Jersey, distracted driving was listed as a contributing circumstance in nearly 750,000 crashes between 2011 and 2015, and whereas the state of New Jersey will participate in a nationwide distracted driving 2018 crackdown from April 1st to April 21st, 2018. Actually, that should probably say 2019, in an effort to raise awareness and decrease driver distraction through a combination of enforcement and education, and whereas the national slogan for the campaign is, "You drive, you text, you pay," and And whereas a reduction in distracted driving in New Jersey will save lives on our roads, and now therefore it be resolved that Brian Waller, our mayor, and the council of the Township of Piscataway do hereby declare for the Distracted Driving 2019 crackdown, both locally and nationally, from April 1st through April 21st, 2019, and pledge to help increase awareness of the dangers of distracted driving.
Item number 11, announcements and comments from officials.
Nothing at this time, thank you.
Just as a reminder to support Councilwoman Lombardi's effort this Saturday with the Clean Up Piscataway Day. I think we talked at length last week to residents who might be interested. You can register that day. Please go out and support Clean Up the Town. And the Easter egg hunt is that very same day as well at the Little League Field.
Sorry, I was late, Councilman. There was a 45-minute rain delay at the Little League Field, and I had a stay because my kid was up, and the base is loaded, and we got a single. I couldn't miss that. That's why I was late. But even though it thundered, Sookie wouldn't call it, so there's called their plane, and I'm here.
Yes, we're just getting ready for the cleanup this Saturday, the 13th of April, 9 a.m. at the Little League Field. We're probably almost at about 600 volunteers at this point. And the t-shirts are back and we're ready to go. Signs are up. So let's wait until we get to that date. Yes, Mr. Grubbs, I have you on the registration list. I'll be looking for you in the morning.
I already told him. That's a wood bar.
That's a coffee. Yeah, I don't want bagels. I want a sandwich.
Okay, so he'll be there.
I just want to acknowledge the passing of an icon, a teacher, a mentor, a track coach in our town, Mr. Larry Lester, who passed away on this past Tuesday, April 2nd. He was a neighbor. He was my son's track coach. He was my teacher in high school, my kid's teacher. He meant a lot to a lot of us here in the township of Piscataway. So just want to just mention him and to say that he will never be forgotten, as I'm sure many of us here know him. I also want to acknowledge a passing of one of our teachers here in the township by the name of Lilla McDermott, who passed away also this week. So I just want to acknowledge her passing as well.
Well, thanks.
Okay.
Very briefly, Council President, just want to acknowledge the MLK DARE graduates and also Arbor School DARE graduates.
No, I don't want to call open to the public. Please state your name, your address, and know you have 3 minutes in which to speak.
Yes, my name is Marshall Butler, 89 Spruce Street.
Good evening.
I have a lot of issues on Spruce Street right back now. First and foremost, I have a question. The road is a 25 miles per hour speed limit, but we have broken lines in the road to give people authorization to pass. Why is that? I would just like to know that. How do you pass at 25 miles per hour? One side of the road is finished. And that happened before the road was
constructed. If I may, Council President, everything's governed by the Jersey State Department of Transportation on rules and regs on what you can stripe.
In other words, the town just can't go in and stripe whatever they want. Everything has to be,
everything, for lack of a better word, everything is regulated by the Department of Transportation.
So it's regulated to pass on a 25-mile-per-hour road.
The answer is you can, and you can't put a double stripe line up without.
Or put a stop sign.
The answer is you can pass on a 25 mile. Yep. You can't pass on the curb, but you can pass on a 25 mile.
So you can pass at 50 miles per hour, in other words. That's what I'm getting at.
You can't see the speed limit, but you can pass a vehicle. Say there's a vehicle double parked or whatever, you can pass a vehicle on.
Well, but my problem, sir, is that speed is too fast here, and nothing being regulated to stop that. And somebody's gonna get hurt or killed on that road. I guess that's what's gonna have to take. That's the question I have. Why is it, people going down there In other words, like a bad idea. You understand what I'm saying?
Just want to mention one thing, Mr. Butler, Council President, if I can. So what we've done in other neighborhoods, when you mentioned that there are people that are speeding on in your neighborhood that might be doing, I don't know, maybe 30 or maybe 35.
No, ma'am, I'm addressing 50, 60.
Okay, and I'll say, let's just say 60. Quite often what we find sometimes is it's actually your neighbors sometimes. And I'm not going to say that that's the case on your street because I go down School Street quite a bit. And I know that people sometimes use it as a cut through from one section to the other. But we have put up those monitors out there so that people can actually see. And then we also send police through. And then what happens is the people start to complain to the neighborhood that they got tickets. But it's not something that we can't do. We can actually put one of those monitors up there.
Well, think about it, ma'am. I live on that street. I don't see police out there too often. And I see a lot of speeding there.
By the park all the time.
All the time.
Roads under construction.
That's prior to it. It probably will be a faster afterwards because the road's going to be improved. So we're going to look for a lot more speeders there. Now, what are we going to do? Just let somebody get killed before we do something about it?
No, and we can do that. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I drive down School Street quite a bit, and I tend not to. One of the reasons why we're working on the road because I know that the road is pretty bad. But it's if you want to break your axle or blow a tire, if you're doing 50 on that street, that's exactly what's going to happen because there's so many bumps.
But people don't care, man. That's what I'm saying. They don't care. And then the road got bumps in it. Now they don't care. Imagine when it's nice and smooth.
So what we'll do is, when this happens, we could always have, you know, police actually take a look at that. Okay?
Okay. And my next issue is my house, 89 School Street. You know, the township come in. They put sidewalks in. They leave my yard, 3 feet high, where they done dug into the yard because that's the only house that's high on a hill on that street. I've not put a retaining wall, and they want to make my yard 3-to-1 slope. Take the rest of my yard that belongs to me. So I just like to know, you know, what are you going to do about it?
So there's been a lot of conversations between Mr. Butler and township officials.
Yes, it has.
We have acquired an easement from him and have paid him for the easement. And the town attorney, Mr. Clarkin, has this case right now. We've told Mr. Butler what our plan is, and we look at it and watch it during the construction period. And he has sent some letters last week that are of concern that have been referred to the legal department. So that's where we stand with this right now.
Anthony Wild, 2250 Plainfield Avenue North. I've been here a bit. I was gone for a month, came back. I was hoping that the visual buffer that is supposed to be maintained by the town would have actually, it was getting to be spring, they might have done some planting, which I have been told for the last 3 years would be done. Nothing has been done. Still full of garbage, and I did speak to Henry Hinterstein after calling him maybe 6 times after the mayor suggested I call him, and him not calling me back multiple times. And basically what he said is, we're doing our best, but I pointed out that I had a visual buffer, and my neighbors had a visual buffer from the facilities across the street on Knightsbridge when I moved in 25 years ago. It has been degrading for that 25-year period. I've been promised multiple times that action would be taken, planting would be done. Occasionally, some things get planted and never get followed up on. They die. The trees have died off, so there's not a bunch of old growth trees left, and there is virtually no visual buffer left. Now, there's a resolution that was put in place in the 70s when this was built and has not been maintained. I've spoken to the general manager at Hariba, who promises me multiple times that things will be taken care of. They aren't. And you're degrading the value of my home, my neighbor's home, It's not a particularly appetizing view. And I have been told that the town would take care of it. 3 years ago, or 2.5 years ago, when Hariba wanted to put up a nitrogen tank, there was some agreements of what they would do. What they did was inadequate. And if you, I've sent pictures to Henry. He told me there was planting last spring. There wasn't. There's nothing. No new planting has been
done. Aren't those evergreens? I went by there and you and I spoke.
Yeah, and if you look in front of several died in front of my house.
Let me finish my sentence. It looks like there's a whole string of evergreens they put in, but they're not directly in front of your house. They're everywhere but your house.
Well, they were, exactly. An interesting situation, I'd say. I'm the one who makes the most noise.
Let me just finish what I'm saying. I'm trying to review here, but let me finish.
Okay.
It looks like they planted them and they died. I know once before you had told me that vegetation that was planted in front of your house died. So
yep.
My question is, that evergreen row, were they originally planted in front of your house and they died?
Yep.
Okay, cool. And I just wondered, because it wasn't like they didn't plant them there. They planted them, but for some reason there's something happened to the ones like, because it looks like there's like 4 or 5 that are missing right in front of your house.
Indeed.
I mean, either somebody cut them down or...
And they planted some, and the town twice has planted some deciduous bushes that also died because it didn't rain for a month or a month and a half the first or second year they were there. The other ones took that had been planted previously. So, as I have said, it's half, you know what, actions that really are wasting the town's money because you keep trying to do something but never follow through on it and never do it effectively. So you make me aggravated.
Those aren't our evergreens. Aren't those the commercial property owners' evergreens that they were planted in there?
So Henry, I'll paraphrase at least what Henry told me. He had a conversation on a Friday afternoon and he explained that spoke to Hariba about cleaning it up. The mayor has also added it to this Saturday's cleanup for Earth Day to clean up the property. But as Henry explained to me, and he says he explained to the resident, is that the problem they have out there is that the trees have now grown to a height that anything you plant below them will not get the proper sun and ultimately dies. And he said that there has been numerous plantings over the years, and due to lack of rain or moisture because the big trees are soaking it up, and sunlight, whatever we're putting in there, as requested by Mr. Wilde, is dying. So
the evergreens, though, Tim, are on the other side by their parking lot, and I don't think we put them in.
They were put in with the nitrogen tank when they got the waiver for that.
They fill in that one section.
Right.
Because they run the length of the property on the road there. They just, there's a gap in front of Tony's house because this is indicating he died.
But again,
remember he told me that about 2 years ago.
The trees have not grown to such, there are less trees now than there were 5 years ago, than there were 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. All the older trees have died. There may be one left within view of my house. So we are talking about doing something, following through, and on when it doesn't rain, watering them. What a concept. And, you know, doing something that would honor what the town had committed to the people of my neighborhood 30, 40 years ago and has not been maintained. I don't think it's unreasonable to ask that the town honor its commitments. I've been told it would multiple times. It has not happened. You know.
So, Tony and Henry are speaking, and we'll see if we can reach.
And I will say one last thing. Henry also told me I would never be satisfied. We had a nice conversation. Henry is a reasonably nice guy. But to think I'll never be satisfied, all I want is what? It doesn't have to be what it was 25 years ago, but it can't just keep degrading. And
I'm sorry to cut you off, but your 3 minutes is way over.
I understand. Okay. Heard Mike right. Thank you.
Good evening. Jim Brennan, 2200 Custer Street. So Mr. Wheel's problem is exactly what I'm here, put on a grander scale. I drive by Tony's house, I know exactly what he's talking about. It's a mess over there, and right, it's probably 4 or 5 times more wooded and covered when I moved in 20 years ago. So I'm looking for an update on 800 Centennial, if anybody has one, as far as a tenant or as far as some of the work on that firm is.
So I know they're an advertising tenant, which is the reason why they're advertising for a tenant. I don't know what happened with the pharmaceutical company, but they obviously haven't taken the space, at least as of now. As of now, they don't have a tenant, and as of now, I think they fairly well stopped working on the building because they don't know what to do with the inside.
Well, I'm on record telling you exactly the story of the pharmaceutical company.
You could be on record for all you want, but you and I have had...
I'm on record saying that was just to put the residents off so that we'd stop complaining. So
you can be on record all you want.
We all know this is going to be a full-bore, 500-truck-a-day warehouse that you're putting in a residential neighborhood.
You can be on record all you want, but I know who the company was.
Okay.
And I know this, so I know.
Move along, because I only have 3 minutes. You guys have come to the office and do what I'm talking. So in attempting to get some information, I've made no less than 24 calls to Ms. Cahill. Every call goes to voicemail. That voicemail never gets listened to because the box is always full. Yourself, Mr. Khan, dozens of phone calls. Maybe I've gotten one returned. Henry Hinnerstein, apparently his phone is broken and his email doesn't work, because Mr. Hinnerstein never, ever responds to anything. I did stop by town hall, and basically I was just looking for a couple of simple answers. Ms. Cahill, you promised me an answer on how someone could, on sworn statement, say that the berm to the town attorney, Mr. Clarkin, that it was gonna be flat 30 feet on top and planted, and that is certainly not the case, about 6 feet across on top. I'm still looking for an answer on that, and I was simply looking for an answer on the initial plans called for an 8-foot fence running across the top of the berm. I'm not a landscape engineer, but looking at the top of that berm, I do not see any way that they can plant a fence. And in the most recent plans I've seen, I'm not a landscape engineer, but I do not see that fence in the landscaping plans. So I've been looking for information on that, but I think as a resident, we deserve at least the courtesy of a response from at least one person that represents us.
Jim, I've responded to you a lot of times, and you just emailed me a week ago, and I wrote you back. So to answer some of your questions, Henry was out there, I want to say a week to 10 days ago, maybe a day or two more than that. I was supposed to go with him, but I could not, because he wanted to go out and visually see some of these things. I have not spoken to him since he's been out there.
And I've asked numerous times if he would do that with me, and no one would.
I don't have a problem doing it with you, but I can't speak for Henry.
Right, but no one would actually do it.
The plan does call for a fence on the top. The fence, I don't know that the fence is practically going to be constructed until the landscaping is done, because if you put a fence up, then you have to do full-time landscaping on either side of the fence. So the fence may be the last thing that goes up there. They're not done with it. What Henry told me prior to going out there was that he had numerous issues with the landscaping, the state of the landscaping. He and I discussed various different options. So it's not exactly spring yet.
If you would communicate, well, it is, but if you would communicate that to me, right, then I would be less angry and hostile about these things, but he doesn't respond. If he had just said, hey, look, I've been out there, here's what I've seen, here's the things I'm gonna ask them for, I would probably just say thank you and go away, but no one will respond. So I'm still looking for a response on how the developer and their representatives can, under oath, make a statement that with the plans 2 feet to their right, totally different than what the plans say, and how that gets through our planning board.
So if I could just, so when we did speak, I said I said I would get that information. I have not read through the entire testimony. And that's, on me for a time.
You didn't really need to read the whole thing.
But when we spoke, what I think I communicated probably, you know, wanted to get a more definitive answer was that I'm sure that at the meetings that they do where like workshops, that error was found, and when we voted on it, it had been correct.
You weren't even there to vote on it.
Well, I mean, we meeting the
planning. Quite a few of those meetings.
No, I'm at every.
Not the attendance for the meetings.
I'm at every planning board meeting.
So,
you were not.
So you were not at the meeting when they voted on it.
I was not at that one.
Okay. But hold on. They had a gentleman come up under sworn testimony and say, this is what it's going to be.
Right.
If it wasn't going to be that way, that he did in front of a room full of people and Mr. Clarkin, then there should have been another planning board meeting.
Right. I'm sure
that. I need to cut you off with your way over the
other side. Let me just explain. This is what, I wasn't there. I did read the transcript that you sent me, and the transcript reads exactly as you said it reads. I will say this, having read thousands of transcripts, they're not always completely right, so I don't know if it's right or not.
It's on videotape as well.
Let me say, the transcript says.
Oh, just let me know. It's on video as well.
Let me just say, from a practical perspective, if you made a flat top of 30 feet or so, you'd have about 100 foot width base.
I get it. I'm not looking for an engineering.
If somebody said that, it's an obvious error. And I don't know why they would say that.
Or again, just meant to tell people what they want to hear so they would go away.
Well, if you want to look at everything, so you want to look at everything
to do
that went on.
Hold them accountable.
I'm not going to speak because you just got to keep talking, guys. Want me to answer you? You want to go?
Yes, please.
I'm saying if you want to look at everything in the most negative light, then you're right. I don't know what went on. I just know that you couldn't possibly have a berm with a 30-foot flat top fit on that spot, and anybody involved.
I don't know how you have a 300,000 square foot, 144 bay warehouse on that piece of property, and you have the same concern.
Well, you and I know that I've always thought it was that's
144 loading bays.
Mr. Brennan, I really hate to cut you off with you.
I'll talk to you about it off the record.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Bruce Barati. I reside at 105 Normandy Drive. I've been there for 71 years. And my grandfather bought that property 102 years ago. And I want to make things very clear. I'm not here to complain. The reason why I'm here is to make everyone in this council aware of a very, very serious problem. I don't think the mayor needs to listen.
Before Mr. Barati goes ahead, we just need to let everybody know that we've been dealing with Mr. Barati. He has an attorney and has referred the attorney to us, threatening a lawsuit against us people who play recreation, and that complaint has been referred to
my office.
So,
I just asked the council to go ahead and just to listen to the residents' comments, but as you refrain from making comments.
I thought we resolved
this
issue, did not.
We thought we did too.
Go ahead.
May I speak?
Yeah, absolutely. Please.
And again, I'm not here to complain. Please. And I believe there's many members on this council that are not aware of my problem, and that's why I came tonight. This problem started when the cricket field was originally designed. Initially, there were no problems, but 5 years ago, my property suffered approximately $5,000 in damages. And most recently, a year ago, I was threatened by cricket players by a bat and trying to threaten an assault. And that happened because the balls continued to hit my house and land on the property, and a verbal discussion accelerated into an argument. And then two of them approached me with the bat. I was standing on my property. If it wasn't for my wife screaming, call the police, something very serious would have happened. I attempted last year to attend one of these meetings, and I was intervened by the mayor at the door, who made a suggestion and was fully aware of this. And he said, I want you to contact my secretary, Dana, and have a meeting with the chief of police, who at that time was Mr. Carmel, director of Parks and Recreation, Mr. Tenierhurst, who is here tonight. His secretary, Dana, And the meeting went very well. But one important question that I asked Mr. Tierney was, who was responsible for designing this? And I believe he said he was involved in it. And I said, well, how could you possibly design something that would jeopardize my well-being and my family and my property? And his answer was, I'm quoting, I didn't have enough experience in cricket, and I had no idea that this could cause so much damage. We resolved the meeting on a more or less a temporary agreement that one cricket pitch had to be removed because it is entirely too close to my property. If you Google it and look at official specifications of the cricket field, my house is in the outfield. Well, I thought one would be removed, and I'm willing to negotiate. And the other one, in front of the house, could possibly move further away. Here I am today, and nothing has been resolved. And 2 weeks ago, I saw cricket players playing, and I asked, do you have a permit to play? And they said, yes. So it prompted me to visit the mayor. And right away, he referred me to Mr. Tierney. And I sat down with Mr. Tierney, and I asked him, what is going on? Because I thought you were going to resolve a problem. And we had a temporary agreement. He said, look, Mr. Brody, until we resolve this, I will not issue any more permits to play cricket. I said, thank you. Let's try and resolve this. The following weekend, here we go. People playing cricket with permits. And he was kind enough to talk to me at my address. And I said, what happened? He said, well, what we spoke about. The next day, I told the mayor, and the mayor told me, disregard anything that I promised you, issue permits. And I quote Mr. Tierney. May I show you something? I didn't buy these at Dick's Sporting Goods. That's only 2 months of cricket balls that I took off my property from last year. Only a week and a half or 2 weeks of games, I've already got 80. So again, I want to make something very clear. I'm not here to complain. For those of you who are not aware of the problem, you are aware now. One thing that Carmel, chief of police, said to me, he said, no one has the right to deny a citizen a peaceful life. And I think that made a lot of sense. I only have one question and I'll leave. And this is addressed to the mayor. You are fully aware of the problem. Numerous times my lawyers have contacted you and you refuse to answer. In my professional career, any and everybody I did business with would always respond. So my question to the mayor is, and you don't have to answer, by the way, because this is not a court of law, and you're not under oath, and I happen to be a lawyer. So you don't have to answer, but I still have to ask you, why do you refuse to address a very serious problem and refuse to speak to me or my attorneys? Because I'm very flexible. This is a very simple problem to resolve. I'm not asking for the town to remove all the cricket fields, but I'm only asking some cooperation so that we can both live a peaceful life.
Sir, did you say you were a lawyer or were not a lawyer?
Was a lawyer. I left it when I
should. You should be one, is what I was going to say. Pretty good.
I used to work with Bruce Cutler in Brooklyn. I don't know if you know who he was.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
John Geisler. But I saw the corruption and the way things work, and I told him, Bruce, I have to leave this profession. I can't handle it. And I went into the private sector. And I did much better.
Let me just say one thing, and I don't want to take any more time.
Sure.
We are aware of it, and I you know, you know how lawyers are. When you get a lawyer involved, anybody else got to get a lawyer. I'm a lawyer, so lawyers can screw everything up. But my understanding was that the town desires to resolve the issue, and I'm going to have a conversation with the mayor and my colleagues at some point later, and I believe there's a way to resolve.
Yes, every problem has a solution. The only problem that doesn't have a solution is death.
This guy's, if I get arrested, I'm hiring this guy. Thank you, but in all sincerity, I think we have a handle on the problem. I'm going to talk to the mayor and see where it goes.
I'm very easy to negotiate. I'm going to work something out between you, the Indian culture, and my property. And every problem does have a solution. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak.
And you should sell those balls back to them on the weekend.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Brian Fortney, 731 River Road. Mr. Khan, as you promised, they did take the trucks off River Road. Very good job the first week. Now they run up and down River Road around the clock.
That's not true.
I live on River
Road.
Yeah, that's, I do too, and I'm teaching
that.
And they said, and I was told by my neighbor, that they'll deal with the guys, the local guys get tickets, and the guys out of town wouldn't get tickets, they're not familiar with the territory. UPS is running pups down the road at night. I'm watching them.
So there are trucks that are still, I mean, we're talking not.
Anything under 10 tons is allowed.
They're tractor trailers. They're not under 10 tons.
Anything under 10 tons or that is making, I'm not trying to be argumentative, I'm trying to answer your question.
Okay.
We cannot ban anything under 10 tons, and we cannot ban anything doing local deliveries. So if there's a UPS truck making delivery to Colgate from Olive, we can't.
10 tons to 10,000 pounds.
10 tons.
10 tons. 10
tons.
20,000 pounds.
Right.
So let me answer your question, because I'm there, and I've been keeping a careful eye, and every now and then there's trucks, but I'm going to tell you, there's probably 95% or more of the trucks have been off the road. And Tim can tell you, a couple of times I was in traffic and saw a tractor trailer, I took a picture and sent it to him, where I've talked to the chief about it. We only have so much in the way of resources, but here's part of the problem. You may see a truck by your house or my house, they may get down to by the stadium, that's where we've been hanging out and ticketing them, and then they get a ticket.
Right.
I mean, I saw a truck this morning, and I ended up having to go further. That was going to New Brunswick, and I went down further down, and by the time I got down there, he was pulled over right in front of the stadium. So
okay, but for her to say that they're not running down the road, you live on the road, right?
Right. There's three spots that they pull.
Yeah, some of it is going to be learned behavior. You know, we just upped the fine to $250 to make it more of a pain.
The township getting all the money?
We're getting all the money, yes.
That's right, stick it to them.
So we're doing the best we can. There'll occasionally be a truck, but I can tell you I live off the road, not on it. But the folks that live right on the road, and you're one of them, you gotta tell me it's a heck of a lot better than it was.
Oh, better, yeah. They're still running, but it's much better.
And it's gonna get better. Because the trucks that are there continue to get tickets, the word will get out. The GPS, when you do GPS and wave and all that other stuff, soon it'll be don't go on River Road, and you'll see it's going to continue to get better and better.
Okay, next issue. I'm just looking at item number 8 and 9 with the Belgian block sidewalk. Doing the sidewalks and the lock blocks for, you know, ADA block. When you run the sidewalks down River Road, at what time is that within this time frame of 2019-2021?
Did you say A and B?
What? No, A. Number 9 on agenda A.
Yeah. Under the consent.
Yes.
The curb, sidewalk, the driveway, and the ADA ramps?
Yes.
So what's your question again?
Sorry. All right, when they run down River Road, according to the mayor, they're going to run sidewalks straight down River Road.
Eventually.
So is this not within this time
frame? No.
Oh, I was just concerned about that, so.
Yeah, that would be the count. The answer is maybe someday.
Maybe so. Okay, well, it's not. Will I be notified when it's done, or are you just going to?
I don't know. The count, that's a county project. I'm waiting to.
By his house, you're talking maybe 8-9 years.
Okay, perfect. I'll probably go on by then, but thank you.
Sorry, mine's clear, hopefully.
Good evening, Jonathan Powers, 361 Stone Road. Unfortunately, I can't really make it to planning and zoning, you know, meetings due to my schedule. On my way here and traveling to 287. The new apartments on Old New Brunswick Road, Babylon Apartments. I see some stuff getting torn down next to it. Is there anyone who can give me an update on what's going to happen over there on Old New Brunswick?
If I may, that's part of the suit from Housing Advocates, so you know.
Yeah, I know.
You know what it is. You're asking
but no, I don't know. Is it more apartments going up?
Yes, it's okay. Being sued by Housing Advocates. And this
trying
is
to blame, I know you're trying to blame my friend.
But you know what it's about.
But I didn't know if it was going to be housing, apartments. I honestly didn't know that. Right, but now 3 weeks or maybe a month ago, you told me to review. Is there more apartments going on around town also in other areas?
This is all part of the Housing Advocates of the state of New Jersey. You know very clearly that this is a town where 300 plus towns were sued, and this is a culmination of the judges with a settlement with most communities.
And
I'm saying the person's name, but you know that person.
Did we sue to try to, did you fight it at all, or you were more than happy to take the 1,000 on?
Let's just put it this way. Skagway has done its fair share of a housing obligation. I think it's disingenuous.
I'm trying to give you credit for it.
I know, but some of the folks that you've been dealing with are coming out and criticizing the town about the low to moderate income housing going up when that was individuals from that group are actually part of the parties that sued the town.
I spoke with our mutual friend, and she filled me in on her side of it. So I'm just trying to find out. I was just asking what was going up there, and you went off on a tangent into the affordable housing. So
You understand in order to meet that obligation that the housing has to be built.
And we have to create a master plan.
I'm not here fighting that.
Yeah,
right?
We have to create a master plan that will allocate affordable housing in many different areas so that we can abide by that ruling.
Right, that's fine. I've told you countless times that I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I was just asking what was going up there and about how many units. You know how many units? Not the affordable housing units, but the total units.
That's a very small.
It's much smaller than Avalon.
Because I don't have any children, and I'm concerned about the schools and everything, and taxes and stuff.
They are made aware of the master plan.
Right. By the way, just so the general public knows, the school district does a demography study every couple of years in regards to that, and they're fully aware of what's going on planning-wise in the town. As a matter of fact, they did sign off on all the studies that were taking place with the construction currently going on.
Okay, cool. So you look good. Your projections are good.
Yes, signed off by their own superintendent.
Okay. So these companies, the owners are going to be paying regular taxes like everyone else, or are they getting tax breaks, pilots, or anything like that?
They have to. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Because I was hoping to sign a pilot right now, like if I could just start. Keep paying my same amount now while I'm there.
No.
All right, thank you.
Just to, if I can explain a little bit about the legal process that we were in. So the requirement came down as a result of, you know, litigation, you know, from COA and other affordable housing advocates. And what happened is the Supreme Court directed each county to handle the issue within their county. And in our county, the matter was assigned to Judge Wolfson, who's now retired, but Judge Doug Wolfson had it, and he entered an order that every town in the county had to have in their master plan an affordable housing plan consistent with the numbers that the Supreme Court had dictated, and there's a formula. And each and every town had a series of conferences with the judge, and there were lawyers for COA that were at these conferences, and there was negotiation, so the town would come in and say, here's what we want to put in our master plan, and the affordable housing advocates would argue for more, and the judge would kind of negotiate a compromise with every single town in the county, with the exception of South Brunswick, mm-hmm. who refused to cooperate with what the court had tried to negotiate, and they litigated it out and lost. I can't tell you whether they had to build more or less. They had to build more than they wanted, and they had to build it in the key is that South Brunswick ended up, and I was very good friends with the mayor at the time, and unfortunately it was all our friend who passed away, he was a leader, that the court ordered them not only to build more, but build it where he thought it should be, as opposed to where South Brunswick thought it should be, and so they lost control of that. They took that issue all the way to the appellate division and lost. I assume it's now a resolved issue. So, affordable housing has its pluses and minuses. It's got its social benefits and it's got its social, it creates other social issues that aren't so beneficial for each community. And these things have to be balanced out carefully. So we hired experts and lawyers to do that. We negotiated out a resolution with COA. And as a result of that, that site and some others are in our master plan to be developed to provide for our affordable housing quota that's required by law. That's why these sites are developed. We're not building them, but we had to designate certain areas. And if we refused to do so, and we were in non-compliance, the court would have told us what we had to build and where. And so there's been three rounds, right, of COA? And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, somebody who knows more than me, I think that we have in our master plan and have planned out, we're good for more than 25 years or so down and out into the future. Am I correct? And it's the law. It's the law in the state of New Jersey. We've always followed it.
You don't have a choice.
That's the truth.
That is the truth.
I didn't want to go there. I was just asking what was going up there.
Let me say one more thing. I know a guy who lives in this town. I'll say who he is. Who his father and grandfather lived in this town, and he cannot find an affordable place to live in Scataway. I don't know the name who it is. And he's somebody who's important to our community, and he ended up moving out of town because he couldn't find an appropriate place to live that was affordable. So, affordable housing has its benefits and it has its drags on each community, and there has to be a proper balance in looking at these things. And that's the way we've always tried to look at it. So, people don't want, an apartment here or a condo here, and they say they don't want it, and so on and so forth. It also provides the opportunity for young people to move into the community that don't have the amount of money to buy an expensive house. So these things all have to be looked at, and they have to be balanced out between the pros and the cons. And it's a complicated process, quite frankly, and we do the best we can with it.
Thank you.
David Akins, Ambrose Valley Lane. Good evening, Councilman. On item number S. Does everyone have that?
Yes.
Okay, last month in March, some of my comments, it wasn't on the agenda, and I was asking about a lot of overrides as far as cost. Good example is, and I understand, Public Works did a lot of work for Public Works. You didn't know how pipes and so forth was until you got into the walls. And you had to do change orders. Matter of fact, quite a few change orders. From that experience, I asked, as I stated last month, this canopy that's out here now, I said this, everything's open. I said, therefore, there will be no increase. There will be no change orders. I see tonight that there is. My question is, what kind of changes are they making?
So you've got your projects confused. This is on the police canopy that's being built out of the police parking lot. And the total project was about $2,520,000 or something. And what this is for, this is $19,800 addition for putting ice guards along the sides. So what we found is the company made terrific progress in getting this thing built throughout the winter, and we had the last snowstorms. They found that when the temperature rises the next day after it snows, the metal of the canopy warms quicker than the ground and everything else, and the snow was falling off of it. And our concern was we don't want to have anybody hit by snow or ice falling off of it. So they're installing ice guards around it for $19,000, which we thought was a very good deal.
How many canopies you're putting out? Because I know the initial cost was the $2 million that you're referring to. We're talking about the same thing, correct?
Yeah, there's one canopy being built. It's almost done. They're just going to finish topping the pavement and hooking up the electricity. It'll be done.
Are we talking about two different canopies?
No, there's one.
Okay.
Go past
Okay.
Right in front of the police station where the parking lot was, we put the canopy for the police cars. Please go to park under with an entranceway right into the building.
Is there any way to identify when I'm making reference? And you bring up a good point. What canopy we're referring to?
Resolution actually says that the contract award of a contract to T.R. Wengetter, Piscataway, New Jersey, for Piscataway Police Vehicle Canopy Project. So it's right there in the resolution.
Item number Utah. I know they've done a lot of work over the city building. What type of change order? I know it's pertaining to the sprinkler system. But what kind of change or what's happening over there now for the additional cost?
Yeah, this was back in December. There was a break, I think we remember talked about. There was a break on a weekend in the leak in the sprinkler system. So we did an emergency at the time to get it fixed, guessing $30,000 was going to be enough. When we finished out the project, it came out to be $35,714. So this is just approving the extra $5,700, and most of this will be recruited through insurance.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Anyone
else to speak?
He's the best for last.
How you doing, Curtis?
I'm all right today. We have 1750 West 3rd. I just want to comment on this column about the newsletter. I appreciate that little tidbit. I had to take it back to my neighbors. But like I told Mr. Frank, those letters, we look at what we want to read out of it, and we toss it. So I appreciate that little information, which I took back to my seniors. My wife don't like it because it doesn't fit the kitchen. But.
And this is a document that I have for you right here.
Okie dokie. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Evans.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have a motion?
Motion.
And that was your second?
Nope.
My name is Costas, and the news 58 Curtis, Scadway. I am so sad to hear all this. This man right here has the right to say, you have a contract to plant these trees here. You put a stipulation in our contract to make sure those trees take root and maintain until they are secure. Planted a whole bunch of cherry trees on Curtis Avenue. Snowplow came in and took off all the support. I cleaned them. I pruned those trees and sprayed them from givers. We need to put a stipulation in the contract to maintain the trees. Other things. The police officers in this township They should go around and put out fires between neighbors. Not go over there and yell at an individual over something someone said and threaten to take him to jail. Go ahead. Take me to jail. I will sue this township. I will sue the police. And I will sue every one of my neighbors that is hurting me. There's something wrong going on. What is happening on Stelton and Lakeview? Why? We need to put out all these eyesores. And the police officers should make these reports noticeable, not only to this council, but to everyone here. Thank you.
Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned. I'd like to call the agenda meeting for April 23rd to order. Adequate notice of this meeting has been provided as required under Chapter 231, PL 1975, specifying time, date, and location, and to be accepted on the agenda by posting a copy of the notice on the municipal building, support the two municipal library building boards, providing a copy of the official newspapers, the township, and by filing a copy in the office of the township clerk in the corners with the certification by the clerk and the afternoon to the minutes. Excuse me, please take a roll.
Councilman Buller?
Here.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Here.
Councilman Kahn?
Here.
Councilwoman Lombardi?
Here.
Councilwoman McCollum?
Here.
Councilman Shaw?
Here.
Council President Aaron?
Here. Please stand for flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number 5, second reading. Approving second, third amendment to financial agreement between the township and Two Turner Place, Urban Renewal, LLC. This will be open to the public. Any comments or questions? Item number 6, ordinance on the second reading, amending Chapter 7, traffic section, 25 vehicles over designated weight, excluded from certain streets. This will be open to the public. Any comments or questions? Item number 7, ordinance on the second reading, amended Chapter 19, fire prevention and protection, Section 3, agency designation. This is also the public. Any comments or questions? Item number 8, first reading, amending Chapter 20, land subdivision, Section 509, performance guaranteed. This is a resolution adopting motions. Any comments or questions? Item number 9, resolution authorizing reading of fiscal 2019 budget by title. Any comments or questions? Item number 10, public hearing, fiscal 2019 municipal budget. Any comments or questions? Item number 11, adopting the fiscal 2019 municipal budget. Comments or questions? Item number 12, authorizing refund of overpayment of taxes due to tax court judgment, 80 Kingsbridge Road, block 6702, lot 801, 80 Kingsbridge Road. Any comments or questions? Item number 13, resolution authorizing release of cash performance upon Lowe's Home Center Incorporated, Centennial Square Plaza, block 5501, block 1202, Centennial Avenue. Item number 14, resolution authorizing 2019 federal license, Shirley Lopez and Amira Ashmir. Any comments or questions? Item number 15, resolution authorizing affordable assistance grant, 4000 Avalon Way, unit 4203. And also resolution number 16, authorizing affordable assistance grant, 7000 Avalon Way, unit 7238. Any comments or questions? Item number 17, resolution authorizing award of bid, public safety, building and mechanical and electrical systems renovation, bid opening April 4th, 2019. Any comments or questions? Item number 18, resolution authorizing award of bid 2019 sanitary sewer rehabilitation project, phase 3, National Water Main, cleaning company not to exceed $108,730.
If I may, Council President, that's in the no reoccurring section.
Item number 19, authorizing return of engineering inspection fees. Lowe's Home Center Incorporated, Box 501, Lot 1201, Centennial Avenue South, Washington, and Sealy Avenue. Any comments, questions? Item number 20, resolution authorizing purchase of shot spotter and gunshot detection, location, alter, and analysis solutions. Shot spotter incorporated not to exceed $235,000. Any comments or questions? Item number 21, authorizing raffle license RA 1394 and 1395, St. Mathis Church, RA 1396, Sterling Village Society. Any comments or questions? Item number 22, motion to accept the report of the clerk's account, March 2019. And item number 23, accept the report of the Division of Revenue, March 2019. Any comments or questions? Item number 24, motion to receive and enter into the minutes disbursements for the month of March 2019. Any comments or questions? Item number 25, announcement and comments from officials.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Council President.
Okay. No, thank you.
None at this time, thank you.
So I have one announcement on Saturday, May 25th. We're going to have the Skagway Annual Walk for Your Health. This is a free walk in Johnson's Park. You can register at the skagwaynj.org/recreation. It requires four items in order for you to register: your first name, your last name, your email address, and your telephone number. Check-in is at 7:30. The walk starts at 8:30. It's a 5K. So hopefully we'll see you out there. If you have any questions, by all means, please feel free to give us a call. Okay, thanks.
Just briefly, I want to set the record straight about the cricket. What the resident came and said was not necessarily true. We reached an agreement with him last fall that we attempted to implement this spring, which was the removal of the pitch closest to his house and the suspension of all hardball cricket out there, which is what we all agreed to. We were issuing permits only for softball cricket on the other pitch, not on the pitch closest to his house. Once he did receive that they were playing out there, he did come in, he did contact the attorney, he did directly sue us and anybody involved with playing cricket out there at recreation, and essentially said that he wants no cricket out there. So that's why we referred him to the legal department. We have attempted to reach a settlement with him. We did reach one and implemented it, and he changed his mind as to what the discussion was, what we agreed to. So that's why you've turned it over to the law department to handle.
He did, or our lawyer did?
He did.
You did.
He came here. We immediately sent it down to John. John talked to him. He indicated to John that those parameters were no longer adequate. And he didn't want any cricket that it's not a proper place to play. So we can't deny people the right to play cricket on the public lawn.
Are we going to put a net up?
He did not want it. So we will handle it through the attorneys, and hopefully we'll reach some kind of agreement with him. But it wasn't quite as clear as he claims it is.
He was a good lawyer, though.
The only question I have is he still having balls hit his house?
Yeah, I believe everything he brought in, I believe, was from last year. So.
Yeah, we've implemented the change of moving the field, though, right?
We're not using the cricket. We're moving the pitch by his house, and we're not using hardballs. So the softballs go a lot less the distance of the hardballs.
This issue is not from the cricket team from the Piscataway. Once in a while, other team come in. We don't have a permit, nothing, and they play. And as soon as we know that, we call the police and they just throw them out there. So this issue not from cricket team from the Piscataway. They are aware of the issue. Only these people who's coming from out of the town, and we follow, just we throw them out there. So there is no issue permit without any cricket pitch from a cricket team from the Piscataway. Not issue from the start.
No comment, thank you.
I just have a quick next question.
Item number 26, open to the public. Please state your name, your address, and know you have 3 minutes in which to speak.
Jim Brennan, 2200 Custer Street. So, heard from three people, myself included, and those three people pointed out the fact that they don't get responses or return phone calls from township employees, township elected officials. So again, I'm going to ask that you consider better means of contacting the council and the mayor's office. There is one group email address, council@pway.org or something like that. Just going out on a limb here, but it's pretty clear that no one reads those or responds to them. I've never gotten a response to an email to the pway.org, council@pway.org email.
So I write you back on my personal email, which you have.
Understood. Right? But these things should go through the pway.org email. If you want me to say that I think that we're directed to personal emails, so things are not on record, yes, I think that.
Not to bring Jared or
not throwing at you. I just think that's by design, and I think it's wrong. And as far as reaching out to our council members, I don't think it's right that we should have to call 12, 14, 15 times and just get dumped into a voicemail that's always full or not be responded to. I don't think what I'm asking for is wrong. I don't think anybody here would disagree. If you were to call Sears, you would expect somebody to pick up the phone. So all we're looking for is common courtesy and response. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.